Listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Welcome to Jam Live, the show featuring concerts and events recorded live in Yukon communities and beyond. This program is presented by Junction Arts and Music, and I am R.P. Singh. Hi there, and welcome back to the outdoor stage of the Village Bakery in Haines Junction, Yukon. In this episode, we are presenting an art form that has recently seen a dramatic increase in popularity, poetry. Not just any poetry, however. Today's show will feature a collaboration of ambient music and thoughtful conversation-provoking literary creations. Canadians are hungry for clarity and understanding during these difficult, lonely, and unprecedented times. Poetry provides a unique outlet for exploring difficult and complex emotions and offers different ways of looking at the world. With their passion for politics and the turbulent nature of our world's current events, teens in particular are fueling this dramatic growth and the popularity of using poetry as a form of expression. Today's show will be presented by Jickling House from Whitehorse, Yukon. Jickling House is the collaboration between poet Peter Jickling and improvising trio Jenny House, which features Sam Gallagher playing lap steel, Scott Maynard on guitar and keys, and Lonnie Powell on percussion. Peter Jickling grew up in Whitehorse, Yukon, and received an honors degree in philosophy from the University of Lethbridge in 2005. He worked as an editor of two Yukon magazines, Up Here Magazine and What's Up Yukon. As a playwright, he wrote Syphilis, a Love Story, which was performed throughout Western Canada. His play won Best Comedy at the Fringe Festival in Victoria, British Columbia in 2011. In October of 2016, Peter Jickling left the Yukon and moved to Toronto to write poetry for a period of time. The resulting book, Downtown Flirt, ranges from topics about subletting to experiences on subways. Often funny and always compelling, Peter's writing invites the reader to peek into the life of a starving artist. On the instrumental side, Jenny House provides a Music for Cocktails with a nod to Brian Eno. The trio combines composition and improv in the vein of Australian minimalists The Necks, or perhaps the later Talk Talk Canon. We recorded this live performance in August of 2021. Enjoy the show.
Thank you. This poem is called All, A-W-L. The morning I leave, I ask for an awl to modify my belt. My pants need torque, though I'm girthy. A mystery. My mum finds the tool, and atop a cutting board etches a notch. I eat eggs, watching. The new hole looks small, so I plunge all into leather, twisting with gusto. I've drawn blood doing less. My mum cautions. An unexpected term, spoken an octave above and a decibel below her standard voice. With a weight that confounds scales. Thank you. So that's Chickling House. I read poetry and these guys play music. And
just like it says on the box.
We don't fit into any neatly categorizable genres, but we're happy with that.
Post-mushroom folk.
If you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah. Pretty niche little market
Orchid. On the edge of the long white desk, adjacent to the Venetian blinds, held straight by a metallic brace, fastened by plastic claws at 6-inch intervals, stands the orchid. I didn't notice it initially. Weird, since its six flowers are Byzantine purple, approximately. It entered my consciousness when I got an inevitable text from my new sublettee saying I was f***ing something up. Last night I had to close the window. Please don't leave it open when you're away for a longer time. The orchid needs to be in an environment that is above 20 Celsius. Charlie Kaufman. They are rare, precious, delicate. They inspire obsession. Responsibility worsened because cool airflow, indispensable to me, apparently kills this pansy. So I reason with it. Byzantinius. Your survival is my priority, but please understand, a stuffy room isn't pleasant. I am negotiating with a plant. This poem is called Laundromat Number 2. Because it's the second poem I wrote about a laundromat. I like the laundromat. I like the rows of washing machines standing like soldiers. I like the drying clothes swirling in sync and the payphone chained, the phone book chained to the payphone. I like the guy in the yellow cap that told me I'll be back before leaving. And the plastic chairs. And the well-watered plants, all 28 of them. I like the sign on the change machine forbidding use by non-customers. And the sign on the door declaring the premises are video monitored. Video monitored. The green translucent signs hanging from the ceiling saying things like double load, 350. And the sign on the community notice board advertising firewood. I like the dirty linoleum floor and the pop machine with the Pepsi logo circa 1992 and the mysterious barrel containing one sock and the washing machine's operator instructions and the carts with lint clogged wheels. Laundromat's fluorescent lights are counterintuitively meditative. I like them too.
Jazz styling?
I think so. Yeah. I've got some very good friends in Whitehorse named Lyman and Titus Hardy. I suspect some of you guys know them. A few years ago, Lyman got really sick, and Titus gave him a kidney. And then Titus commissioned me to write a poem about it. And this is what I came up with. It's called Kin and Kidneys. Think about kin. You could use family or relations or relatives, but kin has unique poetic strength. Like a chain shedding weak links, kin has shed all syllables but one. Kin is unbreakable, word and concept. Think too about kidneys. First Lyman's with Berger's disease, then Titus's, the one that stayed, and the one that saved Lyman. And now, with one good kidney each, some might call the Hardy Boys incomplete. Maybe. But I say they have shed all artifice and built a bond of singular strength. I say they have always been brothers and usually friends. But now, beyond legal measures, they are kin. Thank you. I'm not usually a soccer fan, but I try to find myself in front of a television for the really important games. This poem is called Loyalties. I tromp to the gold rush on 3 hours sleep and watch the World Cup final from a bar stool. I root for Croatia because they are underdogs and because the Balkans have had it tough. When France goes up 4-1 in the 65th minute, I pay and leave. Once home, I check the score online. 4-2, 20 minutes left. I worry I left as soccer's greatest comeback began. So I start rooting for France. That shows how deep my soccer loyalties go. But it was pretty cool that we won the Olympic gold for women's soccer. Shelter in Toronto. Between my Par and Margareta Street sublet are 3 days of limbo. I check into the Kensington College Hostel with kid at camp homesickness. I slump awake the final night, listening to Augusta Avenue revelry, preparing for an unfurnished room.